This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, November 14, 2024. Requiem Mass for Mr. William Holliday, Sr. by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. I appreciate your indulgence today. This is the first opportunity I've had to celebrate Mass for my father. I covet your prayers for his soul. Whenever we look at death, it doesn't matter if it's an immediate family member or someone you really never even known too much, but you're there to support family or something like that. For us, we should always look at the Requiem Mass as a hope, a tremendous hope. Death is sort of the negation of hope for people in the world. They pray for people who are dying. I hope they get better. I hope that they live. I hope that, so it's like when they die, all hope is dashed. Everything is over with. Again, for the worldling, that's why they react the way they do, because they have no hope the way we look at hope. Hope, in one of the commentaries, by definition, is the confident expectation of all those things which Christ promised us with regard to the fulfillment of God's will. This is what should make us different from everybody, because particularly when it comes to death, like I said, we pray so hard for people to get better, or we pray for them not to die. We have to pray even harder that God's will be done, because we don't understand what God's will may be. We need to ensure that what he desires, and what he desires is always going to happen anyway. We just need to acquiesce and submit ourselves to that. So when we look at the hope, we need to look at that last part of that definition with regard to the fulfillment of God's will. This is what gives us hope. This is what makes us react differently to these things. St. Paulinus, back in the day, he said, I quote, "Hope gives us a foretaste of the promised joys of paradise." That's what we're all about. That's what we do as Catholics. I always say, you know, why do we, at any time we come to church, not a funeral, not a requiem, why do we come to church? Because we want to avoid hell, because we know that there is a judgment that awaits us, and we have to prepare ourselves for that. And we hope, beyond hope, with this holy hope, that indeed God will stand with us and persevere with us in this world and shore us up in our weakness in order to receive the promises that he's made for us. Because it's about those promises in which we hope, again, not in conjecture on our part of what we may want at any given time. Psalm number 30, Holy Spirit speaking to the psalmist says, "How great is the multitude of thy sweetness, O Lord, which thou hast wrought for them that hope in thee." When we hope in God, again, in him, his will, what he wants, and not necessarily what we want, it is a sense of sweetness for us. It is a sense of solace for us. This is why we refer to it as, you know, the world hopes for a bunch of things. People hope for this, they hope for that, they hope for a better job, whatever it might be. We, when we speak about hope, it's a matter of a holy hope. Why? Because it's not directed, should not be directed, as I keep saying, on what we want, but directed toward God and supernatural things. You even look at death. Death is a natural thing. Everybody, very few things, you get up here and say, people say death and taxes. You don't necessarily have to pay taxes. You can enjoy prison time, but you don't have to pay taxes. But you will die. Should the Lord tarry, it's just going to happen. We should have this holy hope that is directed toward God and supernatural things. What happens afterwards? These are the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever look at the scriptures, Jesus never promises you anything but your basic sustenance in this world. Most of us get so much more than that, but Jesus never promised anything more than that, really. You know, I've never, you know, one of the scriptures, you know, it never has it been heard of there where someone that trusts in the Lord is starves to death. There's always going to be somebody to fend for people. The promises of God are centered on eternal things. Eternal happiness, our Lord promises us. He promises us the means to require and attain that eternal happiness. He promises us forgiveness of sins, because in sin you can't attain that eternal happiness. And he promises us answers to our prayers. All of these things are where we direct that holy hope, that confident expectation that those promises are going to come to the fore, because our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect God, and he who is perfect truth cannot deceive. This is where our hope is founded on that. But in close practice, the first reading, St. Paul would not have you ignorant, brother. And he starts talking about all these things, hopeful things. And we get to the gospel where Martha and Mary, their hope, as I said before, they had the rug pulled out from under their hope. They no longer hope that their brother will live. He's been dead for 4 days. He's been buried for 4 days. So what does our Lord emphasize there? He doesn't emphasize their hope. He emphasizes their faith, the belief of Martha. As he's talking to her, do you believe I can do this? I believe that he's going to be resurrected later. Do you believe I can do this? Yes, I believe that you are the one sent from God. You can do anything. This is a holy hope, and it is entwined, but Christian hope is based on faith. It's based on what we believe. When he said, do you believe that? Belief is synonymous with faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, St. Paul writes to the Hebrews, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. Hope and faith gotta go together. They have to go together. Our faith in God is what tempers our sorrows in this world. Our hope in his promises being fulfilled. When they have to do with the fulfillment of God's will, we should be good with it. We should be good with it, because we know in heaven there are no more tears. So if you get there and somebody's not there that you think should be there, or you just love the heck out of in this world and they're not, there are no tears in heaven. Down here, we don't get that. If I don't see this person, it's not going to be heaven. When you get up there, you will see God as he is. You will see that in his justice, the righteous thing has been done, and you will have no problem with it whatsoever. It's a place of joy. This is what we need to understand about St. Augustine. When he speaking about himself, he said, speaking about his view of that there is a judgment to come. St. Augustine says, I could never hope for pardon or heaven when I think of my great sins, but I venture to hope that through the merits of Christ, I may be saved by means of penance and of keeping the commandments. Most of us do not leave this world in a state of perfection. We leave this world with commandments that have been violated. We leave this world not having done enough penance for some of the things that we've pulled off in this world. Okay, whether we do that self-consciously or not, it's neither here nor there. Recompense has not been made. And so what do we have to do with this? We have masses like this. We have masses where we try to do means of penance, where we are living a life where we try to keep our commandments so God hears our prayers for the souls who are suffering in purgatory. This is what we do. This is where our hope lies, that God will hear that, and he will again clean us up to where our prayers are effectual for the souls in purgatory. This is faith. Faith equals our belief. And our Lord's question to Martha, do you believe I can do this? This is a question that he poses in every prayer that you lift up, whether it's for a dead person or for a new job. No matter what the prayer may be, our Lord looks at you when you're asking, you need to think he's not answering you, and he looks at you, do you believe I can do this? If we're honest with ourselves, we answer like the man did that came to Jesus with his son who was possessed. And he said, Lord, can you deliver? Can you deliver three times, Jesus? Do you believe I can do this? Yeah, I believe you can do it. The third time, do you believe I can do this? Because Jesus, why did Jesus ask him three times? He said, yes, he believes it. Why did he ask him three times? Because Jesus wanted him to be honest. He wanted him to be honest. Do you believe I can do this? And I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. We got that both going on. We believe, but there's always that, it's really, Lord, help my unbelief. Do you believe that I can do this? We should respond just like that. I believe, help my unbelief. Our Lord's emphasis is kind of interesting when we look at, it's all about him. It's all about him. When he asked Martha, do you believe that I can do this? He doesn't say one word about, do you believe that your brother was good enough to get into heaven? Or do you believe I loved your brother enough to get him into heaven? He doesn't say, do you believe that your piety is good enough for me to answer your prayers? Or he just, do you believe I can do this? It's all about him. This is why we need to focus on him in this world, because everything else is fleeting. People die. We lose things. Things break. That's just the way of this world. He's the only anchor point. He's the only anchor point, and he has made all kind of promises to us. We just need to answer that question. Do you believe he can fulfill them? The answer to that promise is yes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.